Dear Muslim Youth Helpline, Assalamu alaikum. It's getting to the point where I'm about to lose it. I'm a heroin addict and I need some help. I chase about 0.5 grams a day. If you can help me
to stop feeling so worthless. My doctor doesn't understand or even care. So I've stopped taking my antidepressant and now my life is spiraling
out of control. I know it's haram to self-harm. Seeing the blood flow eases the pressure in my head.
I can still hear his footsteps stopping outside my bedroom door. I feel dirty. I ask Allah, why would my uncle do this to me?
It's so unfair. Why do they pick on me? Please. Please help me. Because I am suffering every minute of every hour of every day.
Just a few of the 24,000 calls, emails, letters and web chats the Muslim Youth Helpline has handled since it began in 2001. The brainchild of Mohammed Sadiq Mamdani, who at the age of 18 set up a phone line in his bedroom to help other Muslim students in need. The helpline has come a long way since then. Now in its eighth year, it has supported over 5,000 callers, has 6 full-time staff, 6 part-time staff and 4 departments. At the heart of the organisation are the 60 helpline workers who give up 3 hours a week to man the 2 phone lines, dealing with a range of mental health and emotional issues.
It's been difficult in a good way because it's kind of opened my eyes out to actually realising the true extent of issues that Muslim brothers and sisters out there in the world are facing, not even just the youth, but just in general, as a Muslim community, what we are facing and, you know, living in this society, in a more Western society, all the things that the youth are facing as well at the same time. And, you know, you think you've gone through a lot, but sometimes when you pick up a phone call and you hear something like, you know, someone's having an abortion or thinking about having an abortion, you just kind of, you pause and you just think, wow, like, you know, you're a bit stunned at that point because you just don't realise the extent to what people are going through as well at the same time. And the worst thing is that these people are going through it alone. And, you know, that's not how it should be, and that's not how anyone should feel like, you know, having to experience all these things and deal with all these problems on their own.
Saliha is a 19-year-old student studying for her A-levels. She called the helpline over a period of 5 months.
My mum and my dad split up. I was very small and I didn't have understanding. But as I grew up, I started realising why people pick on me, why people will say nasty things to me, why things will happen in my life, which I don't think any human deserves to go through.
I got to know someone, but I thought as a person I was okay, but he started putting me down so much, like, you need to go to a mental asylum, you need to do this, you need to do that, you're a bad person. And I really did feel offended because I've never, the things he would relate me to people who were like prostitutes and things like that, and I've never ever thought of anyone like that because that's not my mentality. My friends didn't understand me. I dropped as a person. I thought I need to go to a mental asylum. I actually started hating myself for who I am.
MYH is not just a helpline. The charity has harnessed the power of the internet to provide counselling through instant web chats. The all-new MuslimYouth.net was also relaunched in April.
So the site is campaigns driven and it's got profile pages where young Muslims can log on and kind of like, you know, create their own profile pages. And we have the forum section, which is a very big part of the MuslimYouth.net, which is basically where an online community is formed and young Muslims can discuss with other young Muslims any kind of concerns or issues that they might have. It's a different stream of support. The helpline, you know, is more about emotional support, while this is more about civic support. It's kind of about supporting young Muslims to become leaders in the community, to actively engage with their local communities, but not only with the local communities, but also have a voice where they can have a platform online where they can express themselves, even if they want anonymously.
The site also established the award-winning prison campaign, which sends around 3,000 gift boxes to prisoners during Ramadan. MYH is also taking part in a new national mentoring project for Muslim ex-offenders. The advocacy department ran a campaign called Realhood, which brought 9 young individuals together to shoot documentaries on topics around citizenship and identity. The videos were shown at the House of Commons, and one of the films on Stop and Search won the Limelight Film Award.
Have you ever been stopped and searched?
Yeah.
And what was the reason? What did they say to you?
Because there's women dressed in my hijab and headscarf. Well, it ain't nice because they just think we wear headscarf and we hide things underneath our headscarf, which ain't a good thing. With our parents knowing as well, and we're younger lots as well. So it ain't good what they're doing to us as well, just for no reason.
Then what can we do to go along with it sometimes? I guess people that we choose to be in Parliament are mayor, innit? Personally, I thought that they were just being stupid about it. But then again, they're just doing their job, so there's not much you can do. We are being isolated and we are being picked out. Then again, I know some people who aren't the best people in the world and they get away with most stuff they do. So I guess it's the minority that make the majority look bad.
The charity, based in an office in North London, continues to go from strength to strength, but it still has funding issues and faces a shortfall of £140,000.
I want in 2 or 3 years' time MOH to be a household name so that it has the same pull as, you know, when Islamic Relief goes out and does a fundraising drive. But the other thing we face is that people aren't ready yet to think of supporting charitable activities at home within Britain. When people want to, you know, if they're thinking giving some sadaqah, their first thought on their mind will be, okay, I'll give that to Palestine, I'll give that to Iraq, I'll give it to Pakistan, you know, I'll give that abroad, send that back home. And, you know, there are huge issues out there. There's huge need of problems going on around the world. But the people that have the first right upon us is our own neighbours. And it's just getting that into people's mindset.
We want more young people to know about our service up and down the country. So that they can benefit from our help and that they know that there's someone to turn to in their time of need. And the way we can do this is by getting more support from, you know, not only mainstream organisations, but also from, you know, from the community, both financially and in terms of advocating our service.
In an ideal world, I'd hope there'd be no need for MYH. You know, we shouldn't need a Muslim Youth Helpline. The reality is different. There needs to be a space for people who are British of Muslim faith to express themselves, to go for help. There also needs to be a space for people who want to give something back, to give something back, and I see MYH providing that forum.
If you hadn't have called the helpline, where do you think you would be now if you didn't get that type of help?
If I didn't contact Muslim Youth Helpline, I probably would have committed suicide. As a person, I would drop so much. I didn't know who I was. That's how much. It's hard to believe, but once you experience it, you know how it is. I don't think I would have been here. I've tried committing suicide because I had no one to talk to. Everyone would put me down. And when you have no one, it's not nice.
As much as the service has got bigger and better, the helpline still only reaches a fraction of those who need it. For every 400 inquiries answered a month, it's estimated that up to 1,000 are missed because of a lack of resources.
In terms of, you know, the amount of young Muslims that we're reaching out to, it's just the tip of the iceberg. And we want to reach out to more young Muslims so that, you know, more people don't have to feel alone, that they know that there's somebody out there that they can turn to and who can help them with their problems. So, you know, there's always so much more work to be done, both in terms of raising awareness of the issues that young Muslims are going through and in terms of, you know, financially and in getting support from, you know, the Muslim community, you know, and from mainstream organisations as well.
If Muslim Youth Helpline could help me, I think they could help anyone. I think people should turn to them because they are there for you. I don't think people should think there's no one out there for me. There is Muslim Youth Helpline and they will help you with any situation. It doesn't matter how big, how dirty, how bad. It doesn't matter what it is. they will help you. They won't say to you, do this, do that. They'll make you understand and believe in yourself, which is important because you come first. And that's what Muslim Youth Helpline is here for.